Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The title is Kya Asar Tha Risalat Ki Shaam Hai. Noor Sunnat Hai Kono Makam Mein, Kya Tajalli Thi Tere Bayan Mein. Noor Sunnat Hai Kono Makam Mein, Kya tajalli thi tere bayan mein. Abd sulta khare ek safoon mein, Kya asar tha risalat ki shaam mein. Abd sulta khare ek safoon mein, Kya asar tha risalat ki shaam mein. Farq kaale wo gore ka tune, kis tarah se mitaya jahan mein. Farq kaale wo gore ka tune, kis tarah se mitaya jahan mein. Ye tha teri gunami ka sadka, shaan sultaniyat shutrba mein. Ye tha teri gunami ka sadka, شان سلطانیت شتربہ میں. جس نے کانٹے بچھائے تھے دیکھا, گل بدامہ تیرے بوستاں میں. جس نے کانٹے بچھائے تھے دیکھا, گل بدامہ تیرے بوستاں میں. جو چلا تیرے نقش قدم پر, کام راہ وہ دونوں جہاں میں. جو چلا تیرے نقش قدم پر, کام راہیں وہ دونوں جہاں میں. ہو کمر جیسے انجم میں روشن, آپ تھے محفل اختراں میں. ہو کمر جیسے انجم میں روشن, آپ تھے محفل اختراں میں. آپ کی شان بے انتہا کو, کس طرح لائے اختر بیان میں. آپ کی شان بے انتہا کو, کس طرح لائے اختر بیان میں. نور سنت ہے کونو مقام, کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمدللہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفى. اما بعد, فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یا ایہا الذین آمنوا اتقوا اللہ وکونوا مع الصادقین. صدق اللہ العظیم. This is a beautiful poem of حضرت حکیم اختر صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ in regards to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has commences by saying, نور سنت ہے کونو مقام, that the nur, the brilliance, the light of sunnat, this is in the entire universe. Our Hazrat gives a beautiful example of this. He says, like a person, he goes overseas. So when he goes overseas, he sees a beautiful dress that is being sold. So he looks at the dress and he says, if my wife has to wear this dress, then how beautiful my wife will look. And then he finds a handbag. And then he says, if my wife has to carry this handbag, how beautiful she would look. So he buys that dress, he buys that handbag, and then he comes back home. And here at home, he tells his wife, now wear that dress, put on that handbag, and now he gets so happy that she looks so beautiful in these garments. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved, Allah ta'ala gave this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the entire universe. From the time a person is born, we are taught according to sunnat what should be done with that child. That the moment he is born, and the child, once the child has been cleansed, not when the child is still impure, the child must be cleansed first. Then the adhan is given in the right ear of the child. And the iqamat is given in the left ear of the child. The moment the child reaches the age of 7, then at the age of 7, now the aqiqah of the child must be done. At the age of 7, on the 7th day the aqiqah of the child must be done. On the 7th day, now that child must be given a name. On the 7th day, how much of hair the child has, according to that amount, sadaqah must be given now. So all this has been taught to us. That child now grows up, he has to get into business. What is the sunnah way of business? If that child wants to get married, what is the sunnah way of getting married? And a person leads his entire life. Now we come to the end of a person's life. At the end of a person's life, now when a person leaves the world also, what is the sunnah way of giving ghusl to the deceased person? How many cloths must be put? What is the sunnah number of cloths that the deceased should be enshrouded in? How many types of qabrs there are? How a person should be put into the qabr? How high should the sand be? Everything has been discussed. Noor e sunnat hai kono makame. This, the noor of sunnat, the brightness and the light of sunnat, this Allah Ta'ala has put in the entire world. Kya tajalli thi tere bayan mein. That's what was the effect of the bayan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke, sahaba who previously were from the days of jahiliyat, but such was the effect of the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that their hearts became muzakka, became musaffa. It became absolutely clean to such an extent that Allah Ta'ala finally said, ulaika kataba fi qulubihimul iman. Allah has written iman in the hearts of sahaba. How Allah Ta'ala elevated the position of sahaba. This was the effect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was not only restricted up to sahaba, but even beyond that, the non-Muslims also, they were also affected with the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The kuffar, they used to say, la tasma'u li hadha al-Qur'an, don't listen to this Qur'an. Walghaw fi la'allakum taghlibun. When Qur'an has been recited, then make a lot of noise so that you'll be victorious, you'll overpower the Qur'an. And if you overpower, then nobody is going to recite Qur'an. So these kuffar who said that make noise, don't listen to Qur'an. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite Qur'an in the late hours of the night, the very same arch enemies of Islam, at night they will go out. And they would hide, they would duck, and they would listen to the Qur'an Sharif. And many a time they would meet up, and then they would say that, where are you coming from? Eventually they will all confess and they will say that we went to listen to the Qur'an. Then they will ask each other, what do you have to say about the Qur'an Sharif? They say, undoubtedly, these are the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So what was the effect of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abd Sultan kare ek saf mein, that a slave and the king, they are standing in one saf. They are standing in one line. What is the position of the king and the subject of the country? He regards himself so superior, and he's got so many servants that are serving him. A person that is a master, what is his position and the slave that is working for him? He regards himself so much superior that the master, if he has to get his slave girl married, then Shariat has given him such superiority that he doesn't even require the permission of his slave girl, and he can get his slave girl married also. Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was bought by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala then freed her. But before she was bought by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was owned by another person. So he got Hazrat Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha married to Hazrat Mughis radiallahu ta'ala anha, without the consent of Hazrat Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nikah was 100% valid. So the point is, what position Allah Ta'ala has given the master, and what is the position of the slave? But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was indeed his mu'jiza. This was his miracle, that Nabi alayhi salam brought a slave, and he brought the master, and he put them into one saf. In Zanzibar was a place where at one stage it was a port of slavery. Slaves used to be imported into Zanzibar. And then from Zanzibar, people from throughout the world, they used to come and they used to purchase slaves. They were exported throughout the world. They were run by the Umans at that time. And now also there's many of them that are there. But how they oppress those slaves. In a little room, in a small room, perhaps there's 4 or 5 windows in that room. And in that one little small room, they used to fit in approximately 60 to 70 slaves, and they used to keep them there. And Zanzibar is extremely hot. What difficulty they must have gone through. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came into the world, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned of these slaves. To such an extent, at the time when he is leaving the world, he said, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. That safeguard your salah, protect your salah. This was a concern at the time of death. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُكُمْ And the slaves that you have under you. Nabi al-Islam said that be careful of these slaves, fulfill the rights of these slaves. أَقْعِمُوهُمْ كَمَا تَطْعَمُونَ That feed these slaves as you eat food. وَأَلْبِسُوهُمْ كَمَا تَلْبَسُونَ And give them clothing to wear just as you wear clothing. This was the mu'jiza of Nabi alayhi salam that he brought the slave and he brought the master and he put them into one saf. Kya asar tha risalat ki sham hai, that what was the effect of the risalat and the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Fark kaale wa gore ka tune kis tarah se mitaya jahan mein. That the difference between a person that is light in complexion and a person that is a little darker in complexion, how didn't you remove this from the entire world? This also on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clearly he mentioned, Ala la fadla li arabiyin ala ajami. That listen attentively, there is no superiority. La fadla li arabi, for an Arab person over a non-Arab person. Wala li ajamiyin ala arabi. And neither does a non-Arab person have any superiority over an Arab person. وَلَا لِأَحْمَرَ عَلَىٰ أَسْوَدَ وَلَا لِأَسْوَدَ عَلَىٰ أَحْمَرَ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى And neither a person that is light complexion has superiority over a person that is dark in complexion. Neither is a person that is dark in complexion has superiority over a person that is light in complexion. إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى Except on the basis of taqwa. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ O mankind, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى We created you in male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ And we made you into different families, different tribes. What is the objective of all this? لِتَعَارَفُوا So that you recognize one another. If the whole world, everyone was looking the same, everyone happened to be from one family, how difficult it would have been to recognize one another. This is also only for recognition purposes, لِتَعَارَفُوا But Quran makes it clear, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ That verily the most honorable amongst you is that person that has the most amount of taqwa. So this difference, this asabiyat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completely wiped it out from the surface of the earth. Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala and sahaba all together standing in one saf and performing salah. Hazrat thereafter mentioned, Ye tha teri ghulami ka sadaqa. Shan-e-Sultaniyat Shutrba mein. This is the sadaqah, this is the blessing of becoming the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the blessing of becoming the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That a camel rider, he has the position of sultaniyat of a king. That when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made effort on sahaba, those that remained with sahaba, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those became the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala declared, radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How didn't Allah Ta'ala raise the position of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ Umar. If there was a Nabi to come after me, it would have been Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in regards to his birth, when he was born, not much detail has been mentioned in the kitab, in regards to the birth of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Or this much has been mentioned that his father, his name was Khattab. And they had many houses, many properties they had between Safa and Marwa. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala in his inheritance, one property that was in the middle of Safa and Marwa, that was in Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala inherited. When he inherited this, he demolished that property. And he said that this I'm giving for the Hujjaj. When the Hujjaj come, people come to perform Umrah, then this will be the place of arrival. So much hasn't been mentioned in regards to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But the moment Umar radiallahu ta'ala reached the age of understanding, it is mentioned his father, he got camels. He had camels. So he took Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and he said, your job is to graze these camels. These camels were just outside Makkatul Mukarramah, approximately 10 miles from a place called Qadid. So he brought him to this place and he said that now you must graze these camels. So this wasn't regarded as anything inferior. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they also grazed the animals, they grazed the goats also. And there's great wisdom in this. Because when you're grazing the animals, when you're grazing the goats for example, so you run behind the goats in one direction. So the goat will go in another direction. You run in the second direction, the goat will go in the third direction. So in this way a person he gets tired. But this is a training process that you're going to be the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And when you're going to become the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the people are going to cause a lot of inconvenience to you, a lot of difficulty to you. But now if you've been through this training process, so later on you'll be able to tolerate the people also. So this is not regarded as an inferior occupation. But the father of Umar radiallahu anhu, Khattab, he was merciless towards Umar radiallahu anhu. He was very, very hard. When Umar radiallahu anhu would get tired looking after his animals, he would sit down for a little while. His father would come and he would beat his Umar radiallahu ta'ala up. That why are you sitting over here? It is mentioned later when Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he became the Khalifa of the time. One day he passed by this area and he reminds himself, he says, Allahu Akbar, that there was a time when Umar would get tired and Umar would sit down and his father would beat him up. And today what is the position of Umar radiallahu ta'ala? That there is nobody above ruling over Umar radiallahu ta'ala except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How Allah ta'ala elevated the position of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. This was all the sadaqah of becoming the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But prior to Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepting Islam, it is mentioned Allah ta'ala had blessed Umar radiallahu ta'ala very, very greatly. To such an extent that in those days, people used to learn family lineages, and this was regarded as one field, as one subject. A person would learn all the family lineages. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, his father was a master in this field, and he had then taught Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he knew family lineages, and whenever he would quote the family lineage, then he would say that this is how I learned from Khattab. That he used to give the reference of his father Khattab, that this is how I learned from him. We cannot go far, maybe we know up to our grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. But their family lineage, they can run all the way up to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam also. So this was one field Allah ta'ala had blessed Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was an excellent wrestler also. Allah ta'ala blessed him in this field also. It is mentioned once a year in a place called Ukaz, it is mentioned they used to have a fair. So all the Arabs, they used to gather in this particular place. And in whatever field a person would excel, he would come and a person would show off his talent in this particular, in that particular field. So Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he was a great poet. So he would come and he would render poetry, and many others would render poetry as well. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to come and he used to show his skills of how he was able to wrestle. So Allah ta'ala blessed him in this as well. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi, the commentator of Bukhari Sharif, he says that when a horse would be moving, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would run at a speed, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala just one jump, one spring, and he will get perfectly and he'll be seated on that horse and he will be able to take that horse forward. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him in this as well. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had a passion for poetry. The famous poets of that time, they used to quote selected poetry, like the ulama when they're performing salah, certain ayat of the Quran are their favorite ayat. You'll find that they repeat it again and again. So just like that, the famous poets, whatever poetry they would quote, he had memorized all that poetry. And perhaps this happened in Ukaz, where they would show off their talent, he was able to memorize all that poetry. In that time, very few people were able to read and write. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was appointed as the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, among the entire Quraysh, there were only 17 people that were able to read and write. Among the 17 people was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He knew how to read and write as well. So Allah ta'ala blessed him very greatly. And then finally came the point in the life of Umar radiallahu ta'ala where he became a young man. And the Arabs were all traders. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala also wanted to go out and trade. So he started trading. When he started trading, it is mentioned Umar radiallahu ta'ala traveled extensively to various parts of the world. He went to Iraq, he went to Sham also. And Allama Mas'udi rahmatullahi mentioned, there are many, many interesting incidents in the travels of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He met Mulukul Arabi wal Ajam, the kings of the Arabs also, the kings of the non-Arabs also. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala met with all these people.
And Allama Mas'udi rahmatullahi alayhi says, but it's very sad, very few historians have actually paid attention to this and recorded the travels of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So he says, I had undertaken a journey once and had gone to that time Constantinople, today what we know as Turkey. So he said, I went to Turkey and I searched all the libraries of Turkey in regards to the travels of Umar radiallahu ta'ala and the interaction that he had on these business expeditions. But he says that in Turkey, I was unsuccessful. From all the libraries after searching, in regards to the travels of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, very little is documented. But he says the only place where there was some information, Ibn Asakir rahmatullahi alayh, in Tariq-e-Damishq, in the history of Damascus, he says in there he has brought certain narrations in regards to the travels of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But he says those were not so interesting narrations that he has recorded. But he says Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had traveled extensively. So what was the position of Umar radiallahu ta'ala? But when he became the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Allah ta'ala elevated the status of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Where hadn't Umar radiallahu ta'ala reached that when the Roman and the Persian empires, they would hear the name of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, they would all shake just on hearing the name of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Qari Siddiq Sahib Banvi rahmatullahi alayhi, I cannot remember correctly whether it was about him or he quotes in regards to somebody else. Probably it was regarding Qari Siddiq Sahib Banvi rahmatullahi alayhi. It is mentioned that when he used to travel, then what he used to take? Just one set of clothing. And that set of clothing in one packet. Just in one packet they put that set of clothing and they used to travel with that. But they say that Allah ne aise rob ata farmaya, jo talateen ko bhi nahi ata farmaya. Allah ta'ala put such rob, such awe in these people, that Allah ta'ala hadn't given that awe even to the kings of the time. Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Even the British had issued the warrant of arrest that Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi must be arrested. When they came to the masjid, in search of Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi, they came to Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi himself. And they say, we're looking for Maulana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullahi. But he was so simple, they couldn't imagine that this was the man that we're looking for. So Hazrat Maulana just took a step, one side. And then he said that he was here just now he was here. So he moved on to the other side. And then they said that this can't be Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi rahmatullahi. And they walked away from there. So here, such simplicity, but how Allah Ta'ala elevated their position. So that's what he says over here, ke ye tha teri hulami ka sadqa shan e sultaniyat shutarba mein, that a camel rider also, he had the position of a king. As the then says, jisne kaante bichhaye the dekha gul badama tere bustan mein, that those that had spread out, that had put thorns in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some threw stones at Nabi alayhi salam, some placed thorns in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what was the effect of this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put roses, he put flowers in their path. He was concerned of how can I bring comfort to somebody, how can I bring happiness to somebody. Quran Sharif also Allah Ta'ala says, idfa billati hiya ahsan fa idha alladhi bainaka wa bainahu adawa ka annahu waliyyun hamim, that repel evil, somebody does evil to you, somebody harms you, idfa billati hiya ahsan, in a better way you repel that evil, to the extent fa idha alladhi bainaka wa bainahu adawa, that enmity that exists between you and that person, that will change in such a way that كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْحَمِيمِ, that enemy of yours will become your bosom friend. But this is not something that is easy. It's easy for us to talk over here. Quran, Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, that none will be inspired with this except those people that have sabr in their life, those that have patience in their life, they'll be able to do that. If somebody does evil to you, you'll do good to such a person. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, and none will be inspired to do this except that person that is a very, very fortunate person. He will be able to do good to that person that causes harm and difficulty to him. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned one person used to always be making ghibat of Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to send mitai to that person. After some time, this person stopped making ghibat because the man is sending mitai. How can I speak ill of him? So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi stopped sending the mitai also. So he came to meet Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So he says that when I was making ghibat about you, you were sending mitai. When I stopped the ghibat, you stopped sending the mitai. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi said, you were doing a great favor to me. When you were making ghibat, you were talking bad about me. all your good deeds you're transferring into my account. So I was sending mithai to you. Now you're not transferring anything, so I stopped sending the mithai to you. Imam Sahib Rahmatullah also explained, he said that if I was to make ghibat about anyone, he said, I will make ghibat about my parents. Why must I give the reward to somebody else? Rather, I give it to my parents. Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, this quality of repelling evil with good, this was found in Imam Sahib Rahmatullah. On one occasion, Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah was walking, and many people were against Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah, and up to this day also, there are many that are against Imam Sahib Rahmatullah. But what acceptance Allah Ta'ala had given him. Perhaps 2/3 of the world, they followers of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah. So one day, Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah was walking in the street, and as he is walking, one person is following Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, and he is swearing Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah came to a place that there were two roads now. So he didn't know that which way this person is going to go. He knew that I am going in a particular direction, but this person that is against me, my opposition, which direction is he going in? So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah stopped there. He said, by how much you want to swear me, whatever you want to say, say it to me. Because it is possible that you are going in another direction and you haven't said enough to me. So finish everything, whatever is on your chest, take all this out. So how they repel evil with good. One person, Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah, for 40 years, the Isha, the wudu that he did, Isha Namazud, the same wudu he read Fajr Namazud, one khatam of the Quran every night for 40 years. So when he used to sleep, just in the afternoon a little bit, and that too because Qailullah, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for a little while, this was his miracle, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this, that he was able to sleep for that little while and function for the entire day. So he used to stay on the top floor of the house. So he went up the stairs and he just lay down. When he just lay down, there was a knock on the door. So Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah Ali came down. He said, Ji bhai, what is it? So he said, I wanted to ask you one question. But what the question is, I have forgotten. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah said, no problem. When you remember the question, then you come back again. So he said, okay. Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah went up again. He lay down again. As he lay down, again there's a knock on the door. So Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah came down again. Now somebody that wants to sleep in the afternoon, the whole night he's awake, how frustrated he would get. So he came down again. Again the same person. So he says that, you remember the question now? So he says that, I remember the question until the point that you opened the door. When you opened the door, the question slipped my mind. So Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah said, no problem. You carry on. When you remember, you come back again. So he went away. Then Imam Sahib Rahmatullah went up for the third time. When he reached the top, again there's a knock on the door. So again he comes down. When he comes down, he opens the door, the very same person. So he says that, did you remember what is the question now? So he says, gee, I remember what's the question. What is the question? He says, the feces of the dog, is it sweet or is it sour? Now look at the type of question he came with also. So he says that when it is fresh, it is sweet. And when it becomes old, then it becomes sour, it becomes bitter. So he asked Imam Sahib Rahmatullah, he said, how you know, did you taste it also? So Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah says, by many things you can understand through logic. He was a very logical man, to such an extent that one day when he went to meet Imam Malik Rahmatullah, so after meeting Imam Malik Rahmatullah, he left from there. So Imam Malik Rahmatullah told his students, he says, do you know this man, Nu'man bin Thabit, Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah? He says, he is such a person that this white pillar that is here, if he has to say that this pillar is gold, he'll be able to prove it that this pillar is gold. This was the intelligence of Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah says, many things you understand through logic. When the feces of the dog is fresh, then the flies come and sit on it. And a fly sits on something that is normally sweet. And when it becomes dry, when it becomes old, then the flies will not sit on it. So that's the indication it's not sweet anymore. So he told Imam Awnifa Rahmatullah, today you have defeated me. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah says, what you mean that I have defeated you? So he said that I had a debate with one friend of mine, and we debated that who is the most tolerant person in the world. So my friend said it is Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah, and I said, I think it was Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah, he mentioned it is Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah. So he says that today I have concluded that the most tolerant person in the world is Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah. So how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed them with that tolerance. In the Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah, he also mentioned, he says that who are the Abrar? The Abrar are the extremely pious person. He gives the definition of Abrar. He says the Abrar are those people, الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْذُونَ الذَّرْ وَلَا يَرْضَوْنَ بِالشَّرْ, that those that don't even cause harm to an end. And they never ever happy with the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Hardoi Rahmatullah, his name was also Abrar. And Hazrat Mawlana, in reality, he was Abrar. So on one occasion, Hazrat Mawlana went to make wudu. So when he went to make wudu, the seat that he sat on, there were ants that were sitting there. So he got up from that seat and he went to the second seat. When he reached the second seat, there also he found ants that are there. So he got up from the second seat and he went to the third seat. And then on the third seat, he found there were no ants. So there he made his wudu. So الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْذُونَ الذَّرَّ, that those that don't even cause harm to an ant, these are the extremely pious people. I was mentioned on many occasions. He said that as Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhim, when he had come to South Africa, he was staying in Lojam by somebody's place. So in the morning, when they went to wake Hazrat up, they found that he was on the floor. So they said, Hazrat, what's wrong? Were you not comfortable on the bed? That why did you sleep on the floor? So he said, this is a 5 sheel carpet. I was more than comfortable on the floor. There's no problem with it. So then they insisted. So he said, when I came last night to sleep, he says that I found that the cat is sleeping on the bed. I thought to myself, who am I to disturb the sleep of the cat? As Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, they went so far, we, even human beings, we cannot fulfill the rights. Allah Ta'ala, give me first the tawfiq, I'm most in need of it. They went to the extent they fulfilled the rights of animals. In Jalalabad, from the madrasa to the, or from the masjid to where the khanqa was, they used to take a walk after the Asr Salah. So it is mentioned that in the monsoon season, when there would be puddles of water all over, then Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali used to take a different route, and then he used to go to the khanqa. When he would reach the khanqa, then he would ask all the muridin that are there, that do you know why I took another route today? So they said, Hazrat, why did you take another route? So he said, all those ducks were playing in the puddles of water. That if we had to take the normal route, we would have chased all those ducks away. So that is why I took another route and came here to the khanqa. Hazrat Mawlana Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was the ustad of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. But Mufti Shafi Sahib had a very informal relationship with him. He was very close to him. Always used to go visit him, etc. So it is mentioned one occasion, when he went there, then they sat down to eat. When after they had partaken of the meal, then Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he started cleaning up the dastarkhan. So Mawlana Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah asked him, he said that, do you know how to clean the dastarkhan? So he said, Hazrat, is there a particular way? Do you need a degree? You have to know how to clean the dastarkhan. He said, yes, there's a particular way also. He says that on the dastarkhan, there'll be crumbs that will be lying there. So he said, all the crumbs, you don't just throw it away, but you take it and on the side of the house, where the wall is, there you will find that the ants that are moving there. This will become the nourishment of the ants. He said that the melons that we have eaten, the fruit that we have eaten, so all the peels, we don't dispose it and put it in the bin, but this will be taken, it will become the nourishment of the goats, of the sheep, etc. And then he said, all the bones that are here, gather all the bones, and the bones must be given to the dogs, etc. So he said that this is how you clean the dastarkhan. On another occasion, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he went to meet Hazrat Mawlana Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. On this occasion, it was a mango season. So people used to send a lot of mangoes, gifts for Hazrat. So there were a lot of mangoes, so they both had partaken of the mangoes. When they had eaten the mangoes, then Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah again, he started cleaning the dastarkhan. So Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, do you know how to dispose of this? So he said, Hazrat, do I need a degree? Do I have to know how to dispose of this as well? He said, do you know at this time in our country, when we have eaten so many mangoes, there are so many people that haven't even tasted a mango. Now imagine if you're going to take this, you're going to dump it on the pavement where the municipal workers are going to come and remove the dirt. If a poor man has to be passing there, and he has to see that these people have eaten so many mangoes, what difficulty he's going to go through? What hardship he's going to go through? So he said, Hazrat, how should I dispose of it? So he said, what you should do is take a little bit, put it in one area. Take another lot and put it in another area, in 3-4 areas. So even if a poor person is passing by, he won't see that there's so many peels, that just there are few peels that are here, few peels that are there, people have eaten a few mangoes. So this wouldn't cause so much of taklif to them. On one occasion, it is mentioned that Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah went to visit him. In India, when they used to have the monsoon rain, then their homes, they were like unbaked homes, wasn't fully baked. So the plaster that was there, it used to get washed out. So every year, they would have to re-plaster the home. So after many years now, when Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah went there, so he said, Hazrat, every year that you have to go through this difficulty, you have to re-plaster the home, and Allah has given you the means, why don't you plaster the home, make a proper home, make a baked home? So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, Mawlana Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, he said, oh, Jazakallah, you told me. All these years, this thought never even come to my mind, that today you have drawn my attention to this. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah understood that Hazrat is making ishara to something. He is indicating towards something. So he said, Hazrat, make me maaf. But tell me, what is it? Why is it that all these years you haven't made this a big tomb? So he said, no, there's nothing. So he insisted, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah insisted. Then he held Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah in his hand. He took him outside and he showed him. He said, look at the street that we are staying in. All these homes that are here in the street, do you see one home that is a big tomb? So he says, no. He says, imagine if I got the most superior home, I have the brick, a baked home, a proper home over here, wouldn't all these people go through some taklif? Wouldn't they also go through some hardship? So they went to this extent. Allah Ta'ala give us this understanding, give us the tawfiq. It is mentioned when he used to come, Mulam Ya Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah, he used to come at night. When he used to finish his wazaif, etc. at night, and he used to return in the winter months, normally people are sleeping early, but when he used to finish his wazaif, it used to be quite late, and then he used to return home. So every day he would come to a certain place, and he would remove his shoes, and then he would walk without shoes, and then he would come to a certain place, and he would put on his shoe, and then he would proceed home. So somebody asked him, Hazrat, every night we see you come here, you remove your shoes, then you walk for a distance, then you put on your shoe, and then you go home. What is the reason for this? So initially, he doesn't want to explain, but then later he explained, he said, there's an evil woman that stays here. And in her young days, many people used to go to her. Now she has become an old lady, but although she has become an old lady, she dresses herself, she adorns herself every night. And then she goes and she waits for somebody to come. And because she's old, now nobody is going to go there. So when she will hear my footsteps in the late hours of the night, she will have some hope that perhaps somebody is coming to me. But when I pass the home, then all those hopes will be shattered. So I'll cause taklif to her. So I rather remove my shoes and I put it on at a different place. Allah Ta'ala give us this understanding. So here also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Jisne kaante bichaye the dekhe, dekha, that those people that put thorns in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, gul badama tere bostame, Nabi alayhi salam put flowers, put roses in their path. Jo chala tere nakshe qadam par, those that treaded the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kaam rahe wo dono jahan mein. Then these are the people that are successful in dunya also. They will be successful in akhirat also. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, then certainly he has attained great success. In Quran also, when the obedience of Allah has been brought, together with that, the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ, say, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to these kuffar, that obey Allah and obey the Rasul. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, and if you turn away, you don't obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ, Allah Ta'ala does not love the kafirin, meaning those that are turning away from the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's danger to the iman of such people. Further, as it mentions over here, ho qamar jaise anjum mein roshan aap the mehfil akhtaram mein, that like the moon that is shining in the galaxy of stars, when there's full of stars in the heavens and the moon is shining, what is the shine of the stars? It means nothing. It is the brightness of the moon that is so bright. Exactly in the same way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was like the moon. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would be seated amongst his stars, the Sahaba, ashabi kan nujum, my Sahaba are like the stars, bi ayyihi muqtadaytum ihtadaytum, whichever one of them you will follow, you will be rightly guided. But they were the stars. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was like the moon. And then Hazrat finally concludes and he says, aapki shaan be intiha ko kis tarah laaye akhtar bayan mein, that the unlimited position of Nabi alayhi salam. What is the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If a person just sits in the haram of Madinatul Munawwara, that rahmat of Allah Ta'ala that is descending over there, a person, he cannot have enough of it. You don't feel like moving from there. And as it says that, just take off your raincoat of sin and enjoy that rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what is the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How people are coming, thousands and thousands. Somebody is reciting Qasida, Burda, somebody is salawat, As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, somebody is reciting some poetry for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Kis tarah laaye akhtar bayaan mein, how can Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Humbleness, how can I bring this on my speech? What is the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In the final last quarter of the 30th para, from what duha going down, that many many surahs Allah Ta'ala speaks about qiyamah, but many many surahs from what duha going right up to surah Nas, Allah Ta'ala speaks of the position of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of his favors and his bounties upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is mentioned Hazrat Jundub radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion he said that the finger of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got cut. When his finger got cut, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the finger and he said, "In anti illa usbu'in damiti wa fi sabilillahi ma laqiti." You are only a finger that is bleeding. And this pain, this difficulty that you experiencing, this is in the path of Allah Ta'ala. You went through this difficulty in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is, according to the Jundub radiallahu ta'ala, this is one incident that took place. And according to him, he says, after this happened, that for a few days, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala withheld wahi from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the narration of Bukhari Sharif, it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a few days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he missed tahajjud namaz. And in the narration of Tirmidhi, it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wahi was withheld from him. So there's no contradiction, maybe both happened, that perhaps wahi also was withheld by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala didn't send wahi upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also missed tahajjud namaz. So obviously this caused grief to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But when this happened and wahi was withheld, this gave the kuffar an opportunity to make a mockery and taunt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wife of Abu Lahab, Umme Jamil was her name. She in particular started taunting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, making a mockery of Nabi alayhi salam, that Allah has discarded you. Allah Ta'ala is displeased with you. Wahi was held back from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on various occasions. One was initially when the first five verses of Iqra were revealed in the cave of Hira. So after these five verses were revealed, it is mentioned wahi terminated. And wahi here was held back for the longest period of time. This time is referred to as fatrat wahi, when wahi was not sent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was one particular occasion. Another occasion when wahi was withheld from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is when the mushrikeen or the Jews, either the mushrikeen or the Jews, they came to Nabi alayhi salam and they said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They asked Nabi alayhi salam in regards to the soul, in regards to the ruh. So here Allah Ta'ala mentions, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. That say the ruh is the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When the command of Allah ta'ala is in the eye, then the eye of a person is able to see. When the ruh, when the command of Allah is taken out, that eye cannot see. But if you take that eye and you do a transplant, obviously it's not permissible, but if you do a transplant and you put it in another body where the command of Allah is still there, that very same eye now is able to see over there. If the ruh is taken out of the heart, the command of Allah is taken out, the heart of a person stops working. But now take that heart and do a transplant, put it in another body where the command of Allah is still there. Now that heart starts functioning over there. So it's the command of Allah Ta'ala. So when they ask Nabi alayhi salam in regards to the ruh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam mentioned that I will inform you. But he forgot to say inshallah, which Hazrat emphasizes many a time the importance of inshallah, mashallah. So when he forgot to say inshallah, wahi was withheld. And this is the third occasion where wahi was withheld. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala immediately sent down verses, wadduha. Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam by the day, by the light of day. Wadduha, by the brightness of the day, Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam. Wallayli idha saja, and by the night when it settles, meaning when everything is covered, now everything becomes dark, now night has come in, Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam by the night. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Your Rabb has not discarded you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And nor is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala displeased with you. And then Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala, walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula. That the akhirat is better for you than the dunya. It is far better. What ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has for you in the akhirat is far superior than the ni'mat and the bounties of dunya. But as for these kuffar that are making a mockery of you, that these people, they will realize their error in this very dunya. And many of these kuffar, how did they leave the world? In the battle of Badr, battle of Uhud, how many of them, they lost their lives, and in a humiliated way, they had left the world. So, ya Allah Ta'ala promises Nabi alayhi salam that akhirat is better for you than dunya. Another meaning of this, walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula, is that your current position, your current situation is far better than your previous situation. Meaning the ulum of shariat, the knowledge of deen that Allah has given you now, in the past you didn't have this knowledge of deen. The marifat of Allah Ta'ala that you have now, in the past you didn't have that marifat of Allah Ta'ala which Allah Ta'ala has blessed you now. The qurb and the closeness of Allah Ta'ala you enjoying at this stage, before this you didn't have that closeness to Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala promises Nabi alayhi salam, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. that soon your Rabb Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you such things by which you will become happy, by which you will become pleased. But Allah Ta'ala didn't mention what He's going to give Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So here the commentators of Quran have mentioned that it refers to all those things that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam desired. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam desired that Islam must spread throughout the four corners of the world. He desired that the name of Allah must be taken in the world. He desired that the Muslims must be victorious. Allah Ta'ala must give the upper hand to Islam. All these things that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam desired, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will soon give it to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But when this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, what did he say? He said, when Allah Ta'ala promised that Allah Ta'ala will give you and you will become happy, he said, إِذَنْ لَا أَرْضَى وَوَاحِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ. In that case, I will never be happy whilst one ummati of mine happens to be in the fire of Jahannam. It is mentioned, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, he said that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala will give me the ability to intercede. And to such an extent, Allah ta'ala will allow me to intercede, that Allah ta'ala will then come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Radita ya Muhammad. Oh Muhammad, are you happy now? And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will respond and he will say, Raditu ya Rabb, oh my Rabb, oh Allah, I am now happy. It is mentioned in another narration that on one occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he recited the verse of the Quran which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam recited. Where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, فَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. That person that obeys me, that follows me, then that person is from amongst me. وَمَن عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And whoever disobeys me, then wallah, you are most forgiving, you are most merciful. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited this verse. And then he recited the verse of Isa alayhi salam where he said, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Wallah, if you punish them, then they are your servants. You have the full right of punishing them. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And if you forgive them, then wallah, you are almighty, you are all wise. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he lifted up his hand and he started crying and he said, Allahumma ummati, concern about my ummat, Allah my ummat. So Allah Ta'ala sent down Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So they ask, when asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that why is it that he is crying? Allah has full knowledge of everything. But he's saying, ask Nabi alayhi salam, why is he crying? So the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that why are you crying? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, that I want my ummat to be forgiven. So he goes back to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we will please him in regards to his ummat and we will not cause any grief to him whatsoever. So وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala reminds Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam of three great favors that he bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The first favor that he bestowed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَعَوَى. Did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala not find you as an orphan, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala granted you shelter. Meaning that before he was born, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took his father away. His father had passed away. So he was born an orphan. And then he remained with his mother right until the age of 6. In that time also he was separated. He went to the countryside to be breastfed. But at the age of 6, his mother left Makkatul Mukarramah. And she decided to go to her family people who were around Madinatul Munawwara. She traveled to Madinatul Munawwara. Umm Ayman had accompanied her to Madinatul Munawwara. When they came to Madinatul Munawwara, for approximately 1 month, Hazrat Amina stayed with her family people. And thereafter she returned to Makkatul Mukarramah. As she was returning to Makkatul Mukarramah, they came to a place called Abwa. And at this particular place, Hazrat Amina also passed away. 6 years old and his mother had passed away. Umm Ayman took this little child and went to the grandfather Abdul Muttalib and she handed this child over to Abdul Muttalib. It is mentioned Abdul Muttalib, he had great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that in the shade of the Kaaba Sharif, Abdul Muttalib used to have a carpet that used to be laid out there. And nobody was permitted to come and sit on the carpet. To the extent even the children of Abdul Muttalib, they were not permitted to sit on the carpet. If they wanted to sit, they must sit on the edge of the carpet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a young boy. So he would run and come onto the carpet. So the sons of Abdul Muttalib, they would try and move Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam away. Abdul Muttalib will say, this child, leave him alone. This child's affair is completely different. And then he will bring him close to him and he will look at him. And from this, Abdul Muttalib will take comfort from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One sahabi says that on one occasion, he says that my father, he went to Makkah Sharif, he went to perform tawaf. So he found one person, he is making tawaf of Baytullah. And he is saying that, رُبَّ إِلَيَّ رَاكِبًا مُحَمَّدًا. that return to me my rider, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi ruddahu wastani' indi yada. Oh my Rabb, return him to me and do a great favor to me. So this person, he went around, he asked the people, that who is this man making tawaf of Kaaba Sharif? And he is saying, Rudda ilayya raqibi Muhammada, return my rider Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me. He said, don't you know who this is? This is Abdul Muttalib. So he said, what is he saying? That return my rider Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me. So he says that his camel has been lost. So he sent his grandson, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in search of the camel. Why this little boy? At that age also, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he undertook any task, then that will be completed with perfection. That if he went looking for the camel, that camel is going to be found. But today he has taken a little long. So therefore Abdul Muttalib became restless that Rasulullah is gone for so long. So therefore he is making tawaf and he is saying this couplet. And while he is saying this, then just suddenly Rasulullah returns. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returns, he grabs Nabi alayhi salam, he embraces him. And then he says, I was so restless with your separation. From today, I will never ever separate from you. So much of love he had for Nabi alayhi salam. But that shelter also, and that support also, when he reached the age of 8, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took Abdul Muttalib away. It is mentioned that when the janazah of Abdul Muttalib was being carried, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was running behind the janazah and he was crying. Later on in life, when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, do you remember the death of your grandfather Abdul Muttalib? He said, all I remember that he was 8 years old. But historians have written, some say he passed away at the age of 120, some say 110, there's different views, some say 95, some say 85, and some of the view that 82, when he was 82 years old, that's when Abdul Muttalib passed away. But before Abdul Muttalib passed away, he took this child and he gave this child to his son Abu Talib. Abu Talib and the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah, these were real brothers to each other. So this child was then given to, or rather Abdul Muttalib instructed Abu Talib. He said that show particular attention and love to this child and take care of the child. It is mentioned Abu Talib had so much of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than his own children also. On one occasion there was no rain in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So when there was no rain in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they asked Abu Talib that you come to the Haram Sharif and you make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So Abu Talib, he went. So when he went, he took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him as well. And he made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sit in such a way that the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was touching the Kaaba Sharif. And now they started making dua. When Nabi alayhi salam picked up his hand in dua, there wasn't a single cloud in the sky. His finger just indicated to the sky in dua. It is mentioned all of a sudden cloud gathered. And there was so much of rain. Every river or every place where water could be stored was now filled with water. This was the effect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when he was a young boy also. So Allah Ta'ala reminds him that this was one great favor. Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. That Allah Ta'ala not find you as an orphan and Allah Ta'ala give you shelter. With the second bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Wawajadaka dhalan fahada. That dhal normally is referred to a person that is misguided. But obviously here it doesn't refer to misguidance. Here it refers that Allah Ta'ala, did he not find you unaware of the laws of Shariat? Before Nubuwwat you didn't know the laws of Shariat. Fahada, Allah Ta'ala guided you, Allah Ta'ala gave you all the laws of Shariat. The knowledge of deen that a person acquires. Or in any profession it might be. This is not our achievement, this is Allah Ta'ala's favor upon us. And Allah Ta'ala, when He favors, Allah Ta'ala can take anything away at any time also. We need to be making shukr to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. That's the second bounty. The third bounty that Allah Ta'ala reminds Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. That Allah Ta'ala not find you poor. When Abu Abdullah had passed away, he left nothing for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala did he not find you poor, and Allah Ta'ala made you wealthy, Allah Ta'ala made you independent. From here, great lessons can be taken. That today, our trust is on my medical aid, our trust is on my insurance, our trust is on our jobs, our trust are on so many things. Nabi alayhi salam, he's an orphan, Allah took care of him. He didn't have knowledge, Allah gave him knowledge. He didn't have wealth, Allah Ta'ala made him independent. And how did this happen? Allah Ta'ala made it such that He gave him the title of As-Sadiq al-Ameen. That he is the most truthful, he is the most trustworthy person. And this became the talk of the town. Everybody spoke of how truthful Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. She told him that I want to sell my merchandise. She was so wealthy, so wealthy. It is mentioned when the Quraysh of Makkah, they used to send their goods for selling. How much of goods, all the Quraysh put together, all the goods that they would send to be sold, the goods of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala would be equal to the goods of all the Quraysh put together, just her goods. So the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, she went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, what they normally pay a person for selling the goods, I will pay you double that amount. And you take my slave boy Maysara and you go to Sham and sell these goods. It is mentioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took Maysara and he went to Sham. But at that time Abu Talib was going through financial difficulty. So he made mashwara. Abu Talib said, accept the offer. He accepted the offer. He went to Sham, he sold the goods. When he sold the goods and he came back, so much of profit he gave to Hazrat Khadija. It is mentioned 2 months and 25 days after his return. At that time many people, there was a lot of indication that this is going to be the final Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. She came and she proposed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, again it is mentioned according to riwayat that she was married twice before and both her husbands had passed away. And every man from amongst the Quraysh, he desired to get married to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. But she proposed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to one narration, he accepted it. And according to one narration, he made mashwara with Abu Talib. And Abu Talib gave him mashwara that accept this. But later on Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, she reminded him. And she told him that the only reason that I made nikah to you is because I had hoped that you're going to be the final Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. There were many, many indications that this is going to be the final Nabi. Even her slave Maysara, when he returned from Sham, when he came back from Sham, then he also mentioned, he said that many incidents took place that indicates that this is going to be the final Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He said that if you are appointed as the Nabi of Allah, because he was 25 and Nubuwwat is only at the age of 40, if you are appointed as the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then number one, she said that fulfill my rights. And through this Nubuwwat, make dua for me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told her, if I am appointed as the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the ihsan, the favor that you have done for me all these years, I will never ever forget that ihsan and that favor. And if I'm not appointed as the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever you have done for me, you've done for Allah ta'ala. Your reward is by Allah ta'ala. You're going to get that reward by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here Allah ta'ala gave him Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala in marriage. So when he got Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, all that wealth of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was now at the disposal of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So three great favors Allah ta'ala reminds Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of. And thereafter Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instructs Nabi alayhi salam, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ, that as for an orphan, don't be harsh on that orphan. That the qahar actually means to have authority over somebody with harshness. You have authority but hard, you're hard on that person. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَقْهَرْ, don't be harsh on that orphan. It is mentioned in the hadith, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَوْ إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَيَّلِينَ قَلْبُكَ, that if you intend your heart, if you want your heart to become soft, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said two things you must do. فَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ, feed the poor people. If you feed the poor people, Allah will soften your heart. And the second thing, وَمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ, pass your hand over the head of an orphan. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, this will soften the heart of a person. No matter how hard his heart may be, it will soften the heart of the person. It is mentioned in one riwayat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, the best home is that home in which there is an orphan. And a person, he shows affection to that orphan. And the worst home is that home in which there is an orphan, but the people of the home are harsh and they hard towards such an orphan. So Allah Ta'ala here tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ, don't be harsh towards the orphan. The second thing he mentioned, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, as for the beggar, don't rebuke the beggar, don't scold the beggar. Here ulama have written that two types of begging are referred to here. One begging refers to a person comes from for some monetary assistance. In the home of Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala, if I'm not mistaken, on one occasion somebody sent some meat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the meat came from Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She knew Nabi alayhi salam likes this, she kept it one side. After a little while a beggar came, he said, in the name of Allah, give something. So Umm Salama radiallahu anha said, Allah ta'ala give you barakat. Meaning that next time now we will see, Allah ta'ala there's nothing really. So she gave him a dua and she let him go. So he went away. After a little while Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came. So he said, is there anything? So Umm Salama radiallahu anha said, bring that meat. So the meat was brought. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants to eat the meat. It has turned into a white stone. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this is because you turned the beggar away. Allah Ta'ala turned it into a white stone. We cannot see, but Allah save on the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah Ta'ala didn't want Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to eat the stone. But when a person has and he turns the beggar away, then this is the result. Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And another meaning of a beggar over here refers to a person that wants to know a masla of deen, and you have the capability and ability of assisting him with that masla of deen. So that person, don't scold him. In a beautiful way, explain that masla of deen. But the ulama have written this much also. Sometimes some people, they're adamant, they don't want to accept. So then Shariat has given one the authority, the person explaining the masla of deen, he can get angry also. And he can turn the person away as well. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرَ. So don't rebuke, don't scold the beggar. And the last, Nabi alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala mentioned, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, the bounties of Allah ta'ala, make mention of these bounties of Allah. This is also one way of shukr. A person done a favor to us. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. You didn't make shukr to that person. You didn't make shukr to Allah ta'ala. Person does you a favor, you make shukr to that person as well. In one narration it comes that a person, he does some favor to you, some ihsan to you. So monetarily pay that person back. But if monetarily you're unable to return that favor, then in a gathering, praise that person before other people. This is also regarded as shukr. But here, under the guidance of mashayikh, we should work. That we try to make shukr of the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, it shouldn't happen. Pride comes into a person. So these are great lessons from the surah, explain the great virtues of Nabi al-Islam and the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala give us all perfect.